keep up with the Trump administration when you subscribe to the Trump Report. This email brings you daily highlights from the Oval Office right to your inbox 5 days a week. Subscribe to the Trump Report.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. You know, you wonder how the day could possibly get any better. First, you have Joyless Reed, who got fired over the weekend, and now word comes that Lester Holt is leaving NBC News as well. Folks, if this trend keeps up, the last man standing at MSNBC could be Rachel Maddow. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Wow, do we have a lot to talk about today. There's so much going on in the news, and we're going to get to all of it. We have some great guests coming up as well. But first, we have some pretty exciting news to share with you. So our good friend, Dan Bongino, going to the White House, Deputy FBI Director, and I think it's a tremendous move. Dan and I have been friends. We've known each other for a very long time, and he's, man, what a terrific choice. If you can imagine, Kash Patel, that trio, Pam Bondi, Kash Patel, and now Dan Bongino, I'm telling you, you're going to have leftists squirming across America right now. But there's also something else about Bongino. Many of you know that he hosts a radio program in the same time slot that I do, noon to 3 Eastern. And as a result of that, we are going to be adding a lot of brand new stations over the coming days. And we're very excited about increasing our numbers. And we tell people that our radio program, we're just like a big front porch. So pull up a rocking chair and pour yourself a glass of Long Island iced tea or sweet tea or a Baptist martini. That's a Diet Coke with a wedge of lemon for you Lutherans in St. Louis. So we're just going to have a great time on the radio. In the spirit of that, we want to welcome a brand new affiliate today of the Real Talk Radio Network in St. Louis. And they broadcast on three different radio stations, KRTK 93.3 FM, KVMO 104.3 FM, and KRTE 107.3 FM. What an honor to be broadcasting, and we want to welcome all of our brand new Missouri listeners to the program. And some of you may be wondering, okay, how do I get the Todd Starnes Show on my local radio station? Well, you can give us a call here. And the lovely Miss Cassie will take your information, and we'll be reaching out on behalf of you to those local radio stations. You can also call your local radio station and tell them that you want to hear the Todd Starnes Show. So we welcome all of our new listeners from St. Louis. And here's the deal. St. Louis listeners, when you call in today and you make it past Cassie, who is guarding our phones, if you can make it past Cassie and you get on the air, we're going to give you a signed copy of my latest book. It's called Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? That is to all of our friends and new listeners on Real Talk Radio Network, the Real Talk Radio Network. So give us a call, 901-260-5926. That is the number to call in if you want to be a part of the program today. We would encourage you to do that again, 901-260-5926. So look, A ruling went out today. About a month or so ago, President Trump sent out orders to every federal worker in Washington, D.C. and around the nation. You will go back to work. And if you do not go back to work, you could very well lose your job. So that was a month ago. Today is the deadline. And any federal worker who refuses to go back into the office and do their job could end up being unemployed. And I think this is a brilliant thing. I've been getting a lot of blowback, though, from people who are very upset. They claim to be Trump supporters, and they say that their spouse, their loved one, is being fired. They were a longtime government worker, and they're going to lose their job. And my reaction to that is, well, I'm sorry, but the reality is, if you are not going back to work, you don't deserve to have a job. I will say this in the private sector, let's just say I have employees, and so if I had an employee and I said, well, you've got to be back to work, and I'm going to give you a week to get your affairs in order and get yourself back to work. If that employee did not do that within a week's time, we would be looking for a new employee. That's just the way things are. So the fact that Donald Trump was so gracious and is allowing the federal workers an entire month to, I don't know, find a dog sitter or whatever they have to do, I say thank you, Mr. President. Now, also over the weekend, Pete Hegseth fired a bunch of government workers and woke generals at the Pentagon. And the left is freaking out about all of this. They say that the firings amount to a constitutional crisis. They're all but telling the fired workers to take to the streets. And you know why? You know why? Because Chuck Schumer and all the other multimillionaire oligarchs, and by the way, they're all about the oligarchy. Well, the reality is they are the oligarchy. I've never seen such a collection of multimillionaires. And you know what's staggering? And we'll run the numbers on this. But here's what I find fascinating about the U.S. Capitol. Under the beautiful dome of the U.S. Capitol, there are more multimillionaires than any other place in the government. Kind of makes you wonder what exactly is going on under that beautiful dome at the U.S. Capitol building. But look, you've got Chucky Schumer and all the Democrat oligarchs, and they are all but calling for the mob to get out there and take to the streets. They would relish American cities burning and the White House under siege. And look, we've seen this before, haven't we? Remember the George Floyd riots? Remember, by the way, when they literally attacked the White House, dozens of Secret Service agents were injured, some of them seriously injured. They tried to burn down St. John's Church in Lafayette Square. And I know the media likes to ignore that story, but that is a reality. So I think we need to put all of this in perspective here. And here's the perspective. And this, I think this is going to surprise a lot of folks. But I did a little research over the weekend. So far, Pete Hegseth has fired less than a dozen woke generals. It's probably going to be more. It has to be more. I hope there are more. But so far, about a dozen or so. The reality is that Barack Hussein Obama fired 197 generals. Now, you've got people like Jack Reed. He's the Democrat from Rhode Island. And he's saying, well, Trump is just trying to politicize the military. Really? What do you think Obama was trying to do? Obama fired 197 very patriotic, God-fearing generals, men's men. And he fundamentally, and in doing all of that, he literally fundamentally transformed the mission and the ethos of the military by replacing these red-blooded patriotic warriors with woke soy boys who can't figure out their pronouns. It does make you wonder. By the way, how's Big M doing? Any updates? We've been hearing rumblings. Oh, by the way, speaking of Big Mike, did you hear Gutfeld the other night? I can't believe Gutfeld went there the other night. Take a listen.
Rumors continue to escalate for the Obamas. Hopefully they can settle it like men.
All right. Is Gutfeld on tonight? Have we checked? Just make sure. Maybe do a health and wellness check on Gutfeld. But again, Obama is the guy that turned the military into a social engineering petri dish, right? So they're talking about how it's a constitutional crisis because Hegseth dumped, what, a dozen generals? Obama fired over 197. That sounds like a full-blown coup, which it was. Now, there's another component to all of this, and now they're saying, well, Trump is being unfair, that all of these government workers are being sent to the unemployment line. Many of them, they've never known any other job than in the public sector. That's pathetic. And the media is playing this like a fiddle. By the way, over 1,000 Starbucks employees lost their jobs today. You want to know why? And first of all, the media is not even covering this story, but you want to know why the Starbucks workers got laid off? First of all, people don't want to pay $6 for a cup of coffee that tastes burnt. But number two, they can't even spell your name right. But number three is that the company has to be profitable. The company has to be able to meet its monthly expectations, right? You have certain revenue that you've got to bring in to pay your bills. And if you can't do that, guess what happens in the real world? In the real world, people get fired. It's a way of life. It's nothing personal. It's just business. And when you've got a $4 trillion deficit and climbing, then ladies and gentlemen, we got to cut the fat. And the fat is in Washington, D.C., and it's in the swamp. But even still, and I appreciate what Trump is doing here, I don't think we're going nearly fast enough. We need to be firing and deporting. That's all we need to be in the business of doing right now, firing and deporting. And in some cases, both. But you would be very surprised if I told you, ladies and gentlemen, that it's not the Republicans who have the track record on downsizing the federal government. That honor, that distinction actually belongs, believe it or not, to the Democrats. Democrat presidents have downsized the federal government more than Republicans have. Now, Forbes magazine ran the numbers. President Harry Truman cut nearly 600,000 federal jobs. But it was Bill Clinton, most recently, who cut 339,000 jobs. 339,000 jobs. So I find it very interesting how legacy media just leaves out that truth nugget. By the way, here's what Forbes magazine reported. They went back into the history books. This is what Clinton said about the buyout plan. It was meant to reduce the layers of bureaucracy and micromanagement that were tying government in knots. You know what? Trump and Elon have been saying the same thing. They just say it a little differently with something called DOGE. So there you have it. According to Forbes, the federal workforce shrank by 64,000 under Democrats, and here we go now, but grew by 237,000 under Republicans. And ladies and gentlemen, this is what I'm talking about when you've got a uniparty. The Republicans are fiscally irresponsible. The Republicans in name only. So here we go, and where are we? Yeah, it's very sad, and I hate it that people are losing their jobs, but this is the reality of our economy right now. This is the reality of our overbloated federal government. And what was it that Joe Biden told the coal miners? What was it he told the coal miners when they were all losing their jobs because of the Green New Deal? What is it that Joe Biden said? He told the coal miners to go learn code. Learn how to code. Well, you know what? Maybe that's the recommendation we ought to offer to people like Joyless Reed and Lester Holt and all of these federal government workers. All right, we got to take a quick break here. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. On February 28th, let me tell you what Focus Features is doing. They're inviting you to experience the most inspirational film of the year. It's based on an extraordinary true event, Last Breath, and it tells the story of a deep sea diver trapped at the bottom of the ocean, only 10 minutes of oxygen left, and he struggles to navigate the pitch black abyss while his teammates devise a daring plan to save him from certain death. So what happens next? Some people call it impossible. Others call it a miracle. Woody Harrelson, Finn Cole, Last Breath, takes you inside a world of deep sea high pressure diving where every decision, every second, every breath is a life or death moment. Incredible performances, amazing visuals, and an uplifting emotional core. You're going to love this really immersive movie. Witness the most thrilling motion picture event of the year on the big screen. Get your tickets right now for Last Breath, rated PG-13. Maybe inappropriate for kids under 13. It opens February 28th in theaters everywhere. All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Want to play some audio here from Joy Reid. You know, ladies and gentlemen, this woman is a racist. There's really no way around it. She hates people of the Caucasian persuasion, you honkies in the audience. She doesn't like you. She hates Donald Trump. And the problem, the main problem with her show, and look, it's okay to be a liberal on national TV. I got no problem with that. The problem is she wasn't entertaining. And you got to be entertaining if you're going to be on television. You got to be humorous sometimes. She was not funny. There was no joy in the Joy Reid program. She was joyless. Anyway, our team put together this little montage.
We've laid out the stakes in this crucial election where one side stands for freedom while the other meets the textbook definition of fascism, namely a far-right dictatorial regime like Hitler's Germany or Franco's Spain or Mussolini's Italy, but also white-ruled South Africa before Mandela and the black majority took control, or Vladimir Putin's Russia, Viktor Orban's Hungary, or Nicolas Maduro in Venezuela today.
In America, there's a thing about both white vigilantism and white tears, particularly male white tears.
You are going to need to vote against the party that has embraced white Christian nationalism. The Republican Party is gone. It has been replaced by Project 2025 and MAGA and Trump. That's all that's left. That party is gone. And that means you have to vote against that letter, R, all the way down the ballot. You have to keep them out of power at the state level, keep them out of power at the federal level, or remove them from power at the state and federal level.
And if you were to combine a Trump autocracy, a fully Christian nationalist Republican party in control of both houses of Congress, and the current Supreme Court majority, well, Katie, bar the door and unleash the devil, because we would be finished as a democracy.
Yeah, Katie just got kicked out of that door, baby. See you later, Joyless. Good luck to you. I don't know what she's going to do, and I'm really not quite sure what sort of a job. I mean, what are the job possibilities for somebody like a Joyless Reid? I mean, you don't want somebody like her selling you real estate, and I'm not sure I want her working the deep fryer over at McDonald's. That does require a skill set that she does not have. New poll coming out of Harvard, and it's got everybody shocked today. This is the brand new Harvard-Harris poll. And the folks over at Harvard were making all of these calls, asking people what they thought about Donald J. Trump. And it turns out that Trump's numbers are through the roof. According to the survey, 52% of the electorate approves of Trump's performance in office thus far. 33% say they strongly approve. Another 19% say they somewhat approve. Harvard is stunned by this, but it gets even better. More independents, more women, Hispanics, Asians, and suburbanites approve than disapprove of the president. So the argument was, well, Trump is going to lose Consuelo's vote when they start deporting people back to their home countries. But we've been telling you for years on this program, ladies and gentlemen, that the average Hispanic American voter, they got a big problem with what's been happening at the border. Big problem. And now those people are Republicans. The Asian Americans, we're going to get to a story a little bit later on, how DEI, if you think it's been bad for all you white folks, you don't even know what it's been doing to Asian American kids. The amount of discrimination directed to them is just off the charts. But you know what? Those folks are voting Trump now. And all you suburban moms out there, all you suburbanites, you've realized that, you know what? There is a problem when you elect Democrats, because then you got people carjacking, people running through your neighborhoods causing all sorts of mayhem. And the soccer moms, they don't like being carjacked. I'm just telling you, they don't. All right, we got to take a quick break here. 901-260-5926 our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stearns Show. folks, we have some exciting news about MyPillow. They're having their first ever mega sale. Oh, that was, we needed some sound effects.
Where did that come from?
Mega sale. MyPillow having their first ever mega sale on overstock clearance and brand new products. For example, Ben Dieter, you're going to need these. You need 50%. You're going to save over 50% on flannel sheets. Queen size bed only $59.98. King size sheet $69.98, and they sell out fast every year. So you got to get an order that right now. You can also save 30% on their brand new My Crosses. They're designed in the likeness of the one that Mike Lindell has worn every day for over 20 years. They come in men's and women's styles, and they're made right here in the USA. Get the 2025 six-piece My Towel set for only $29.98. Their quantities are extremely low, so you're going to want to get them now before they go. And I can't forget to mention the best-selling standard MyPillow. I have six of them. I like a lot of pillows. $14.98. That is a huge deal. So take advantage of the first-ever mega sale. Go to MyPillow.com, use promo code STARNS, or call 800-839-8506. That's 1-800-839-8506. But wait, there's more. Remember that $75 free shipping rule, Ben Dieter?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that ship has sailed, baby. The train has left the station. Because right now, for a limited time, every order at MyPillow ships for free. MyPillow.com, promo code STARNS, or call 800-839-8506. All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Wow, it is finally starting to warm up here in Memphis. I hope it's warming up where you are across the Fruited Plain. But I'm telling you, the Southerners, we're not built for this kind of weather. I'm just saying. Let's go to the phone lines here. Statesville, North Carolina, WSIC, our great affiliate. Charles, what's going on, Charles?
Hey, Todd. Well, it's warming up here today. It's a big change from a week or so ago. But, Todd, as far as Trump's poll numbers go, that doesn't surprise me that they're ticking up. And I think they're even higher than that. I'm talking to people, and I'm seeing Facebook posts, other social media posts, people that were never Trumpers 6 months ago, lukewarm in support of Trump, and independents are just angered and outraged at the amount and scope of the waste and fraud that's being discovered by Doge. And it's just got them saying to themselves, from the feedback I'm getting, how we dodged almost a meteor with Kamala Harris. How had she been elected and Donald Trump, you know, had not been elected, just how this would have continued, how it would have escalated. So people are telling me, and everything I'm reading, people are glad that they're finally finding this out. They just want to know the names now and who's been the beneficiaries of all the fraud and the abuse. And I think President Trump, Todd, should take this opportunity to go, you know, before the TV cameras and do a nationwide address, whether it's, you know, just in the Oval Office or joint session of Congress, and just explain to the American people that this is far worse than he ever imagined. And this is what's going to need to be done, you know, set the proper expectations for all the big cuts and everything. And I think that if he does that, people will continue to support him. And I think it'll be a great campaign issue for Republicans in 2026 for their opponents that are trying to defend this mess.
Well, you know? Charles, let me say this, and there's a lot to unravel there. I think, first of all, the administration is going to, they're just going to have to start firing people. And it needs to be en masse, and it needs to happen quickly. We also need to be upping the numbers of illegals that are being deported. It's great that we're securing the border. I believe border crossings at historic record levels now, low record levels. But the reality is we've got to start deporting these people, and there needs to be some sort of very public way for people to confirm that all of these things are happening. And my concern is there's so much happening so quickly at the same time that some things might get, you know, dropped, you know, in a crack here or there. But again, when it comes to these federal workers, there's no reason why Congress should already not be addressing the mechanisms needed to dismantle the Department of Education, for example.
Oh, I agree with you 100%. And something else, Todd, that I wish President Trump would do, and maybe, you know, with Elon Musk, and it is just to say, you know what, we're going in debt $1 trillion every 100 days. At this rate, we're going to be bankrupt. March 14th, we're running up against the debt limit, and we're going to be out of money. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm cutting up the government credit card, and we're going to live on the $5 trillion revenues that are coming in, and we're cutting $2 trillion. Next, out of next year's budget, and it's gonna start with a lot of federal employees, because you know when your interest on the national debt is close to 20% of all your revenues. I mean, just imagine if 20% of your income went to pay just the interest on your credit cards. I mean, that's how bad this is. But it's got to be done, just like you said, and the deportations need to speed up. And these judges that try to interfere and are being these activist judges, I say, you know what? I'm doing it anyway. I'm the president. I'm in charge of the executive branch. You know, Stephen Miller gave a great civics lesson last week on how all that works. And just do it. And I think the people are going to support him if he does.
Charles, got to leave it there. Appreciate that call. And Stephen Miller has really been crushing it lately. And he made it very simple. Any federal worker who disobeys Trump gets fired. I mean, it's really that simple, and that's the way it should be. But I'll give you an example of the thinking of the Democrats. I was reading some hippy-dippy dude's column. He was all upset because here in Tennessee, they want to block the children of illegals from being educated on the taxpayers' dime. And this hippy-dippy dude was like, well, it's only 1%. Only 1% of the illegals, only 1% make up that's like 10,000. Okay, well, so his argument was, well, it's only 1%. Illegals only make up 1% of the student population in Tennessee. Great. Well, let's do the math here. That's a $5 billion budget. And if you're looking at numbers, that's a $50 million that we're spending to educate illegals here in Tennessee. The left doesn't understand that. They don't understand numbers, or they're hoping you don't. Speaking of that, Ben Dieter, I don't know if you heard this crazy story. The mayor of Memphis, Tennessee, the most dangerous city in America, the mayor now, after raising property taxes, he hasn't been in office but over a year, he's already raised property taxes. He's raised the...
got a hamburger tax.
A hamburger tax?
Yeah, that's it. It's a tax on tourism downtown.
So if you're going to vacation in Memphis, they're going to tax the wazoo out of you.
Yeah.
And now the mayor is proposing what they're calling a universal basic income. So basically, they want to take money away from hardworking people in Memphis and give it to people who are less fortunate.
Yeah. Yeah, no, they're calling it guaranteed income. We can guarantee an income to those that are... earners of lower incomes are struggling to afford housing. They say the inaffordability of housing is a huge problem. And so what they are going to do is give between $500 and $1,000 per month to these families to give them what they're deeming guaranteed income, which sounds incredible. Who wouldn't want some guaranteed income, Todd?
This is insanity. He's already, since he's been mayor, and again, people are leaving the city. We've lost population. They increased the property tax 49 cents, a $30 increase in vehicle registration fees, and they raised, to pick up the trash, it's a $12 increase there.
It's insane.
And so now they're going to tax us so that other people can sit on their butts and their lazy boys and watch their flat screen TVs.
Mm-hmm. And now we're wondering why everybody is leaving the city of Memphis and en masse. And keep in mind as well, we are broadcasting the Todd Stern Show from a city in which we're already taxed higher than any other city in Tennessee. It's right here in Memphis. And now they're just adding more. Because I get it. Income can sometimes be difficult to get. You have housing. Sometimes the cost of a house is very expensive. You know what Todd did? You know what I have to do? We have to work our butts off. What I'm not going to be cool with is if I spend $1,000 plus on an apartment in downtown Memphis, I am not going to get the guaranteed income coming from the government. And that really ticks me off because I'm paying for two people now, myself and all of those other people that are on this program.
So this is fascinating. You know, they've tried this before in other cities. For example, San Francisco, Stockton, California, Los Angeles. I believe you folks in Baltimore have some sort of a cash payment program. They were all pilot programs for universal basic income. And you know what the common denominator in all of this, of these programs? Yeah, they're not in existence anymore. Because here's my question. What happens when the money dries up? What are those people supposed to do at that point? Beyond that, if people are getting $500 to $1,000 a month and the mayor says he wants them to be able to buy a house, are you kidding me? What do you think led to the housing crisis back in 08? The mortgage crisis.
Yeah, yeah. It's Democrat groupthink, though, to your point. And it's to the conversation we were having, what was it, last week, where a lot of people are really upset because Elon and Trump are looking at all of the government assistance programs, one of those being SNAP, and people are really upset about the food stamps, et cetera, and all of these things. Here's a quick solution. Just get a job or at least start. Even the people that struggle, even the people that they say have disabilities, there are ways to make means.
So the argument for SNAP and the proposal is that you will not be able to buy junk food like Ho-Hos or Little Debbie's. I prefer Little Debbie over a hoe. So you're telling me that under the plan, they would not be able to buy those sorts of things. They had to buy healthy food.
Yeah, and they're extremely upset, extremely livid. I just wish everybody that's complaining about the lack of government assistance, of which we already have an overabundance, believe me, trillions of dollars in these programs, would just jump in a time capsule, jump in time lapse, and go back 100 years. Because back before the Great Depression or through that season and time period, you didn't just get the government to give you $1,000 because you were struggling with your income. Can you imagine?
If you want a universal basic income, and I'm all for that, I am a fully supportive of full universal basic income. It's called getting a job. Go get a job. There are plenty of jobs out there. Go work at McDonald's. Go get a job at Taco Bell.
Yeah. And I love guaranteed incomes. And you want to know one way to guarantee an income? Your 9-to-5.
Oh, if a Mexican restaurant, they're looking for a lot of workers over the past couple of
days.
Allegedly. I'm just saying. No, but in all seriousness, though, this is all about, you know, we talk about the food stamps and the fact that people are going out there and they're spending all of it on junk food. And if you want to use your own money to do that, that's all well and good. But if you are on a limited budget and you're out there and you're eating all of this stuff, guess what happens? People get diabetes. They don't have any health insurance. So guess who has to cover that bill as well? So what the government's trying to do, or what Trump is trying to do, is he's trying to really solve two big issues. One of them is we need people eating healthier, because when you eat healthier, you are going to be healthier.
Mm-hmm.
It just makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah. It's like having a new dad. We have a dad right now, and I know a lot of people are throwing hissy fits and having temper tantrums like they're in the Walmart aisle 14 and you don't get the toy. Everybody wants the toy. You've seen it. We've been there. And that's what Trump is doing. He's like, you don't get the toy. And Americans are having a temper tantrum as we speak.
It drives me bonkers because I have been there, and you're standing in the line and you're watching people use their little whatever cards, their stamp cards. And they've got the wealthiest, most expensive cuts of meat. They're doing whatever. It's insanity. Meanwhile, you have people that are out there working their butts off. They can't afford a steak. They're having a hamburger.
Mm-hmm.
It makes no sense to me.
Yeah. And this gets to something that Democrats are infatuated with. I would say this is like an idol. This is worship. It's called equity. They are obsessed with everything's got to be equal. And if you go back through the last couple of administrations, it all looked different. Barack Obama had a spin on this. You look at Section 8 housing, it's all very similar. You look at Kamala Harris, that we are going to live in a world where this neighborhood looks exactly like that neighborhood. And this is exactly what this is. It's everybody pays their fair share, aka you pay yours, we'll take yours and give it to those people that don't have as much and try to level the playing field.
Paul Shanklin, writing this, just sent me a text. Todd, universal basic income has been tried by many parents. So far, they haven't moved out of the basement. The average age of kids living at home, 37 years old.
Wow, I'm doing pretty well.
When'd you get kicked out of the...
17.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good for you. But you're doing quite well for yourself.
Yeah, but I'm not, you know, I'm not one of these people that make up this statistic, because I think Paul's point is well taken. You have just a lot of people that are dependent. And I think Trump, Elon, they're trying to retrain the country to be a little bit more independent. You can do it on your own. You can get your food. You can pay for your own house, rent. It's possible. You just can't wake up at one.
All right, got to take a quick break here, folks. And I'm curious here, do you agree with the Trump administration's plan to limit what people can buy with food stamps? 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
President Trump is moving at lightning speed.
And after that, all hell is going to break out.
Executive orders, new policies, promises kept. It's hard to keep up until now. Subscribe to the Trump Report. This email brings you daily highlights from the Oval Office right to your inbox 5 days a week.
I will put America first.
It'll help you follow President Trump at the speed of Trump.
Some exciting news from Newsmax. And by the way, don't forget, 5 o'clock Eastern, the Todd Stern Show. You can watch it every night, Monday through Friday, on Newsmax, also on Newsmax.com. Rob Schmidt beat CNN in key ratings. Millions of people are now tuning into Newsmax. Every night, Rob is on Newsmax revealing the truth about Elon's Doge. Tune in tonight, 7 o'clock Eastern. You're going to find out why Rob is the hottest host in cable news. Even President Trump is watching. He says Newsmax is terrific. Reuters reporting that Newsmax is now one of the top news brands in America. And if you want to find out why, it's very simple. Just check out Newsmax on your cable system. You can download the free Newsmax app on your smartphone or home TV and start watching. Takes just a few seconds. With Newsmax Plus, by the way, you can watch our great shows anytime by going to NewsmaxPlus.com. That's where you can start a free trial. Todd Stern Show listeners get a free trial at NewsmaxPlus.com. So, folks, be sure to make that switch today. All right. Preschoolers in Maryland. This is an insane story. We're going to be talking to a member of the House of Delegates later on in the program. Preschoolers could soon have access to condoms in their schools. The House of Delegates reversed a state law that made it a crime to sell birth control and contraceptives in public school vending machines. Republicans attacked the measure, calling it condoms for kiddies. Now, the bill specifically mentions elementary schools, kindergarten, and nursery schools. One Republican lawmaker said Democrats have lost their minds, and they warn parents to wake up. Now, the reality here is, all you WCBM listeners in Baltimore, the reality is that your local public schools could soon be a one-stop shop for birth control. And don't be surprised if hormone therapy is right around the corner. Can you believe this? What the heck is going on at nap time in Mrs. Jones's class? That's what I want to know. A bunch of horn dog three-year-olds? Is that what we're talking about now? You see what the alphabet activists have done to us, ladies and gentlemen? Do you see? The Democrats have also advanced a bill that would ban parents from pulling their children out of classes that teach kids how to be transgender. Let me say that again. So say you send little Billy to school, and he's wearing his blue jeans and a T-shirt, and he comes home, and little Billy is wearing high heels. And as a mom or a dad, you're like, well, geez-a-loo, what happened to little Billy? Well, little Billy now goes by Belinda. Thanks to your kid's kindergarten teacher, for crying out loud. And now the Democrats, they want to stop you moms and dads. They want to stop you parents from intervening. And understand this. There is a mindset left over from the Barack Hussein Obama administration, and that philosophy is that government knows better than mommy and daddy. Now, I hope that President Trump swoops in here and just blocks all federal funding from schools in Maryland. We got to start playing hardball here, but may I just say something, ladies and gentlemen? Even if we're playing hardball, you got to homeschool your kids. You just got to homeschool your kids. That's all there is to it. All right, hang tight, everybody. Hour two of The Big Show coming up next. This is The Todd Stern Show.
President Trump is moving at lightning speed.
And after that, all hell is going to break out.
Executive orders, new policies, promises kept. It's hard to keep up
until now.
Subscribe to the Trump Report. This email brings you daily highlights from the Oval Office right to your inbox 5 days a week.
I will put America first.
It'll help you follow President Trump at the speed of Trump.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's right. I love this American ride.
So the Philadelphia Eagles are a bunch of buttholes. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Can we say that on the radio? Yes, we can say that on the radio. Welcome, everybody, and we especially want to welcome all of our great listeners, our brand new listeners in the St. Louis area, Real Talk Radio Network. Today, we launch our show on their fine group of stations, KRTK 93.3 FM, KVMO 104.3 FM, and KRTE 107.3 FM. What an amazing locally owned, locally run radio network there in the St. Louis area. And we just want to say welcome aboard. We, by the way, we are going to be announcing a couple of more stations that have been added to the mix. We'll do that tomorrow. But all this week, we're celebrating Real Talk Radio. And here's the deal. If you're able to get in and talk on the air, we're going to hook you up with a signed copy of my new book, Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? As a way of saying welcome to the neighborhood. So the Philadelphia Eagles. Oh, that was a faux pas. The Philadelphia Eagles, Super Bowl champions. So Donald Trump, out of the graciousness of his heart, was going to invite the Eagles to come to the White House for a visit. You know, they want to be celebrated, and they do that a lot. Right, that there's a long track record of President Trump inviting teams to the White House and celebrating them, getting their picture made. The president says something nice. So a lot of people are upset because, according to the local reporting, the Eagles said no. As a matter of fact, it wasn't just no; it was heck no. Megyn Kelly had a few choice words to say on the Eagles and their decision. Wish I had known this before the Super Bowl. I wouldn't have wasted my time rooting for them. Eagles fans, your team sucks. Well, it's the Eagles, right? I mean, their fans booed Santa Claus. Megyn Kelly goes on to write, "Go blank yourself, Eagles," in all caps, by the way. So she's screaming at you. Just say. Megyn Kelly writing that she backed the Eagles because her husband, Doug, is a fan, which is why she got on board. As well she should, ladies. You know, your husband's a fan of the sport, right? Dylan, that's in the marital contract. You just got married.
It's true.
Somewhere in there.
You have to sign that, yeah.
The wife shall support. You can't. This is why you can't have a mixed marriage. Like, you can't have an Alabama fan and an Auburn fan. It's not going to work. The relationship is not going to work.
You've seen the house divided like car bumpers.
It's true.
It doesn't work that well. I don't know.
It's true. Put the Baptist together with a Methodist? Yeah, it's tough. I'm just saying. Anyway, Megyn Kelly, she's dropping F-bombs all over the place. She's in a bad mood, Megyn Kelly is. So anyway, we haven't heard from Trump yet, but if you remember the last time the Eagles won the Super Bowl, Trump did not invite them because they disrespected the national anthem. And I think this may be a little bit of, hurt feelings or whatnot. Anyway, there you go. Let's go to the phones here, 901-260-5926. Robert in Mills River, North Carolina. Hi, Robert. What's going on?
How are you doing today, Todd?
I'm well. Thank you for asking.
I was just reading your book, Twilight's Last Gleaming, and I'm telling you, it's brilliant. I've laughed. I've been mad. Just about everything you said in the thing is so true. But all your books are very good. But this one here, people ought to just get this book for one reason. They'll see the hell they put the GOP through in 4 years. They put us through it and put Donald Trump through it. And people need to realize, and we sat there and took it, and these people's crybabies. They're there pouting and crying and acting like it's the last one. Hey. We got our foot in the ground now, and we got a man in there doing what he said he's going to do. God bless you, Tom.
Well, Robert, thank you for the kind words, and I have a lot of fun writing those kinds of books. And it's fun because when you put it all together, when you compile all the information, Robert knows, he's read the book. You're gonna find a lot to laugh about, and we love to make fun of liberals, and it's easy fodder. But when you put all this information together and compile it in a book, you're able to see exactly what the Democrats' plan has been all along. And I am telling you, it is by God's good grace that Donald J. Trump is our president right now, folks. By God's good grace. Otherwise, we would be in the fast lane to socialism in this country. That's how dire things were. And I don't think we would have been able to bounce back as a nation from a Kamala Harris president. I really don't. I really don't. So thank you for those kind words, Robert. Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? Endorsed personally by Donald J. Trump. Flew down to Mar-a-Lago. We did a long form interview for the book, and I would encourage you to go and check that out. It's a great read. All right. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Now, I want to go back to this, to something President Trump said over the weekend. The president holding a series of events, and he was talking about Fort Knox. And the president is pretty serious about this. Cut number four.
We are also going to Fort Knox. I'm going to go with Elon. And would anybody like to join us?
Oh, I would. I'd
because
go,
because we want to see if the gold is still there. We want to see.
Yeah, a lot of people are wondering. Now, they're telling us the gold is still there, but a lot of people are saying, I don't know about that. So anyway, that could be like, remember Geraldo? When Geraldo did the big reveal on national television years ago? It could be something like that, but I don't think so. I don't think so. Kelly Loeffler is at the Small Business Administration headquarters. And I don't know if you've seen this video. It just made me mad. Just row after row after row after row after row of empty cubicles. Those cubicles are supposed to be filled with workers, but they weren't there because they're all working from home. Well, today is the deadline. You're either supposed to be in the office today or that's it. You're done. Anyway, Kelly Loeffler talking about this. Cut 11, please.
Hi, everyone. Kelly Loeffler. It's my second day here at the SBA. I could not be more excited to be here, so I thought I'd take a walk. And what I found is that exactly what's been said is true. About 90% of our employees are working from home. Well, that ends Monday with President Trump's order to return to work. It's a tremendous waste of taxpayer dollars to be paying for people and offices that are not showing up for work. So what we're going to do Monday morning, be back in the office, just like our small businesses that we serve every single day that work for us 7 days a week. We're going to be here working for them.
All right. Well, thank you, Kelly Loeffler. Appreciate that. Good work, ma'am. May I ask a question here? There's really not a polite way to ask this question, but is Elon overstepping at all here? Elon issued an ultimatum over the weekend, and he told all federal workers they had to report back to him personally about what they had accomplished in the last week, or they would lose their jobs. Even Donald Trump complied. Musk writing on X, all federal employees will shortly receive an email requesting to understand what they got done last week. Failure to respond will be taken as a resignation. And they wanted five bullet points of what you were able to accomplish last week, and you had to CC your manager. Elon said, please do not send any classified information, links, or attachments, and the deadline, Monday at 11:59 p.m. Eastern Time. So people are really getting upset about this, and I know that Justice Department employees, so Pam Bondi told her crew, yeah, just ignore this one. Also, the Pentagon said, yeah, you guys ignore this. Yeah, don't do that. FBI Director Kash Patel instructed employees of the weekend to pause any responses to the email and said his agency would do their own review. So there you go. So now you have members of the Trump cabinet, and they're pushing back against Elon. It just seems to me, you get this impression that maybe Elon needs to be focused solely on Doge and uncovering the waste and doing something about that. But there you go. Pete Hegseth. So now people are starting to suggest that maybe Pete and Cash and Pam Bondi are the problem. I don't know about that. But I'm telling you that it's just interesting that Elon is everywhere with President Trump. And for some, people are beginning to wonder, has Elon let it get to his head? Maybe, maybe not. Trump seems to be having a good time, at least publicly, mocking the guy and, you know, the way he dresses and wants to know why, you know, the T-shirts ride up and he's having a hoot of a time, so maybe the president's okay with it. All right, look, we're going to take a quick break here. 901-260-5926. You know what we're going to do here? Ben Dieter, Ben, if you could just ask our team. Ben Dieter, could you get the team before the commercial break is over? I want to know what they've been up to. Can you do that? You know what? We don't need 5 points. Let's make it 3. I just need to know what everybody's been up to. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers has come up with some changes to all you moms out there, introducing a new state law that would change the word mother to inseminated person. Jeez, hello. He would also change the word paternity to parentage. These changes would take part across the board in all state documents. The Evers administration, again reading from Rachel Wolf and her fine piece in Fox News, the Evers administration has other gendered terms that will be changed. References to wife or husband are changed to spouse. In other words, the word father, in other places rather, the word father is changed to parent. Mother is swapped out for the phrase parent who gave birth to the child. So I have a question. I have a question here, Dieter. So would that mean that Pete Buttigieg, would he be like the birthing parent? Or would he be, which one was doing the chest feeding? I'm confused now.
This is a real story. Say this isn't.
No, this is real. Actually this is real. Not the Babylon Bee. No,
I
this
thought
is.
You were, I told the team, Todd, because we've been busy compiling all of our accomplishments. And by the way, we have them. We've listed our accomplishments back front page. We have them. But we've been busy, and I came in. And I heard you talking about this.
I forgot I'd asked for those.
Yeah, whoops. We've been busy. We'll share all of our accomplishments, and we don't need them for yesterweek. We need them for today. But no, Todd, this cannot be real. They're changing the actual name. And this is legislation. Like, serious adults are going to have to debate this on the legislative floor.
So let me get this straight. So you're, let's just say, so I would go to church on Sunday morning in Wisconsin and say one of the ladies in the choir, she's in a motherly way, right? She's about to give birth or whatever. And you go up to the lady and she says, oh, I'm with child. And I'm like, oh, wow, congratulations. So you've been inseminated.
It's very clinical. It's not really even sexual. It's what it sounds like what your doctor would say.
You've been injected just like a Cajun turkey right before you put it on the roaster. Wow.
Sorry.
That was inappropriate. The Republican Governors Association issued a statement in response to the language. They say that the latest left-wing push is offensive to mothers. Being a mother is the greatest privilege I will ever have in my lifetime. This is from Sarah Craig, who's actually a woman.
Yeah.
I wonder if she's been inseminated.
Wait, Todd, what about Mother's Day? Are we going to have to...
Happy Insemination Day!
Can I go to Hallmark and get that card? Happy Insemination Day. That's the replacement for mother.
You've been knocked up.
Yeah.
You've been injected.
Did we hear why he decided to just wake up on the wrong side of the bed, Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers, and just decide to be nasty to mobs? Is there any logical thinking here?
No, there's never any logic. These people don't even know their pronouns.
Wow.
That's why you got Pete Buttigieg in the hospital pretending like he gave birth to a baby. Come on, man.
That's very popular now. You better watch it, Todd.
Ladies, do you have a problem with being called, what is it, the no, you're not the inseminator. Unless you're Rosie O'Donnell, maybe. Or that guy on, what's that guy on MSNBC?
Rachel.
Moms, do you have a problem being called the inseminated person? Jeez.
It's awful. You know, I can't even say this seriously.
I'm going to be in church on Sunday. Half my church listens to this show now. And you know when you've said something bad, because when you walk into the sanctuary and people kind of give you the eye.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, we know what you said. Talking about insemination.
Yeah.
Just saying.
And to which you respond, what? Sorry, I was just doing my job.
No, I just keep my head down. You don't want to offend the church ladies, the Women's Missionary Union.
Yeah, no.
Those ladies will come after you.
Oh, you've already been placed on every prayer chain in America, all 50 states. My mom made one recently. So it's not, Todd, just changing the name from mom to inseminated person. I was looking at the legislation. It would switch a father would be changed to just a parent. So I guess they don't get some extremely scientific word. They're just a parent. What else do they have? Wife or husband in the legislation, because they're changing all the words here in Wisconsin, would just become a spouse. So it seems to me they're just trying to level the playing field on genders.
As they say, the cultural battle over gendered language has raged for the last few years, with debates over the use of terms like chest feeding instead of breastfeeding. Or birthing person instead of yo mama.
Okay.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. So, ladies, and again, what this does, this is all moving us towards a genderless society, which is what Donald Trump is trying to stop. And he's been pretty brilliant about doing it by threatening to block federal funding. I say forget about the threats and just do it. Mm-hmm. We love our main listeners, but you guys have a radical leftist and, dare I say, pervy governor by the name of Janet Mills.
Who may Trump be a called
by the way, Trump kept calling her by like man or sir.
Yeah. And like not even as a cruel joke. He genuinely just used the lady Janet as a dude.
I saw photos. I can understand the president's... I understand the mistake.
Did you see her at the Pride Parade down on all fours?
Yeah. Was she barking? Was she in puppy attire? Is that what they call it?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, just got a note here from one of our listeners in Michigan. This is Jim from Michigan. Says, good day, Mr. Starnes. Every job I had, except the Marine Corps, required a daily log or a comprehensive lesson plan. So, again, Jim is responding to Elon Musk and Elon's email to every federal worker to provide a 5.5 bullet points of what you accomplished. And, Ben, you're telling me, we'll get to this a little bit later on, but you're telling me the staff here at the Todd Starnes Show, you guys are putting together your list.
It took 1 second, and we didn't stop at five. We're going strong at 50.
Wow.
So, yeah, right. You're going to be very impressed. I'm no excited. Doge cuts at KWAM or excited. The Todd Starnes Show.
I can't wait. All right. Let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. We're honored to have Mark Fisher with us, a member of Maryland's House of Delegates. And, Mr. Fisher, an honor to have you with us. We have a lot of listeners on WCBM there in Baltimore. Sir, may I just cut to the chase here? What the heck is going on with the House of Delegates and these condoms?
Well, first, thank you so much. Believe it or not, there's a House Bill 380 in the Maryland House of Delegates that actually passed out of the House. Now it's going to go to the state Senate. And here's the synopsis of the bill. This is in writing in the bill itself, by the way. It says, quote, repealing the prohibition on and criminal penalty related to the sale of certain contraceptives and contraceptive devices by means of a vending machine or other automatic device at a kindergarten, nursery school, or elementary or secondary school. So currently in law in Maryland, you can't put condom vending machines in any school. This would, and that would be by criminal penalty, there would be a misdemeanor if you did so. This bill removes all of that and makes it legal to do so.
What really struck me here, Mr. Fisher, is that they were very specific that, you know, this is going to be allowed. We're not going to exempt nursery schools or elementary schools. Everybody's going to have access to condoms, whether you're 2 years old or 18 years old.
Exactly. And Delegate Williams of Prince George's County, her name is Nicole Williams of Prince George's County, Maryland. She put this bill in, and her response when asked, what is the purpose of the bill? Why are you putting this in? She said, quote, to get rid of archaic language. Can't make that up. Can't make that up. So you would imagine, as you just said, well, if you really think this is important, why are you including nursery schools and elementary schools and middle schools? And there's never a response. She just kept repeating the talking point. It's archaic language, so we can't do it. You know, we just have to get rid of this archaic language. It's so old.
Wow. This is insanity. So I'm curious, what are you hearing from your constituents about this?
This is blowing up nationwide, quite frankly. Everybody is looking at this as going, this is just so wrong. And here's why, not just for the obvious reasons, but in Nicole Williams County of Prince George's County, Maryland, there are over 1 million people that live there, okay? And their current testing of third and fourth graders in her county for standardized testing, 50%, less than 50% of the students test proficient in math and reading. And so she's decided not to give children educational choices where they can get out of failed schools and have the money follow the student to go to a school of their choice where it might actually work. Instead, she wants condoms for kindergarten.
This is absolute insanity. I know one of your colleagues, they're in the House of Delegates, called it condoms for kiddies. And I'm just, it's really mind-boggling when you consider that. And also this other piece of legislation that would allow or ban parents from pulling their kids out of classes with transgender lessons and gender ideology lessons?
Yes. So currently in Maryland's health curriculum, you know, that's their moniker that includes everything that's to do with health, human health, you can opt your child out. But then this year they passed a bill out of the House of Delegates that is now going to the state Senate as well that says you can opt out except for when it comes to the transgender portion of the health curriculum. You can't opt out of that. We're not going to allow that to happen. You need to learn about that. They just lost their mind, by the way. And keep in mind, in Maryland, electricity bills are through the roof. The schools aren't doing very well, as you've already heard. People's electricity bills are 50% to 100% higher. That is not in any way, shape, or form an exaggeration. It is the truth. The economy is turning down in the state. We're being impacted, obviously, by federal layoffs and federal firings. We have taxes that are going up. This particular governor has raised more than 300 taxes and fees in his first 2 years, and now he's actually adding even more. So the state has so many systemic issues, and this is their priority. Basically, more ideological curriculum for children, trying to indoctrinate your children.
Mark Fisher is a member of Maryland's House of Delegates and one of the Republicans enraged over this condom vending machine story we've been telling you about. Beyond that, I'm curious because the Trump administration has been pretty clear about this, you know, that there will be a price to pay. Federal funding will be revoked, you know, if these gender ideology things are not removed from the classroom. Are you guys concerned about that? And would you welcome such an action?
We would welcome such an action. And just to show you how this issue has worked its way into the state so deeply, Johns Hopkins University and Johns Hopkins Hospital in Baltimore, considered by many to be one of the best hospitals on earth, actually supports puberty blockers for minors. They've actually written letters of support to committees about bills. They actually support this kind of indoctrination. It shows you how we do need this president to intervene. So I agree with you. That has to happen. And I also want to say that I have to put a plug to the Maryland Freedom Caucus. We've been recognized, which I'm a happy member of and a proud member of. We've been recognized by the State Freedom Caucus Network. And we're also fortunate to have Congressman Andy Harris, who's the head of the National Freedom Caucus in the House of Representatives, also a Marylander. So we're the guys and girls who are fighting for the citizens of Maryland in probably what is the most far-gone state in the country next to California.
Wow. This is just stunning and staggering. And to your point, the schools are failing. And it's not just unique to Maryland, but there are other states as well. And
Well, by the way, I have to say this too. In Baltimore City, and we have other schools too, other than just Baltimore City, there are 23 schools where not a single child tested proficient in math or in reading. That's just unacceptable. And obviously, in any normal universe, in any normal society, everybody would look at this and say, hey, time for school choice. These failed schools don't work. Let's try something different. And they still won't do it because they're bought and paid for by the teachers union.
Wow, this is just stunning. All right. Well, again, Delegate Fisher, we certainly appreciate you coming on the show today. I know we're going to get you on my Newsmax show. The conversation will continue, and just keep us updated on this.
Thank you. I'm honored. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. Mark Fisher, everybody, a member of Maryland's House of Delegates. And there you heard the poor guy. He was like, you know what? We've got schools where not a single child is proficient in reading, but they don't care about that. The Democrats do not care about that. And you know why the Democrats don't care about that? Because they want your kids to be stupid, ladies and gentlemen, because they know that stupid people are more easily controllable. That's what ultimately is going on here. And that's why we've got to get a handle. I am telling you right now, if we do not destroy and dismantle the Department of Education, it doesn't matter what good Trump has done, it will be thrown right out the window. That's why we've got to take a stand here, folks. We've got to take a stand, and we've got to dismantle the Department of Education. All right, got to take a quick break here. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. So we were checking some numbers before we came on the air. Gold is really having an extraordinary historic moment. Now, last year, we think, was it 39 record highs, and gold surged 27%. They literally outpaced the S&P 500. You've got experts like J.P. Morgan now calling it the number one commodity for 2025. Bank of America now predicting it could hit $3,000 an ounce very soon. And the issue that you need to be aware of is wealth preservation. Because a lot of you folks have invested your entire retirement in the stock market, and that is a bad move. You need to make sure that you are invested in other things. You need to diversify your retirement plan. And that's why Priority Gold is so vitally important. They've been a longtime partner of this radio program. And Priority Gold now offering all of our listeners a free wealth preservation guide. This is a step-by-step roadmap to fortify your savings with gold during this historic bull run. There's no cost. There is no obligation. And you're going to be able to get this free wealth preservation guide available in instant delivery. All you need to do is take out your smartphone and text Todd to 24999. That's Todd to 24999. Or visit PriorityGold.com to claim your free guide today. Text Todd to 24999. Yeah, don't forget, 5 o'clock Eastern, Newsmax, the Todd Starnes Show. We're going to have a jam-packed show today. Kat Kamich is going to join us, the great congresswoman from Florida. Well, let's go to the phone lines. Lisa from Gainesville, Georgia, WDUN, our terrific affiliate there. Hi, Lisa. What's on your mind?
Hi, Todd. I was just driving down the road, and I listened to your radio show, and I was just so... Like, I had to pull over on side road. The gentleman that you were talking to about the schools in Maryland, these are babies, and they are trying. How can we help? How can they do this? These babies don't even understand what condoms are. They shouldn't understand what transgender is ever. And I have four grandchildren. So, yeah, I'm very concerned. And this is just, nobody should stand for this. We have to stand up.
Well, we do, Lisa. And that's the answer right there. They've been allowed to do this because so many people have not spoken up. They're not even familiar with who their elected leaders are in the state house. Many people don't even know who their governor is. So it's so vitally important that we nip this in the bud on the state level. And I have no doubt that, you know, parents are going to arise. They're going to rise up. This is so outrageous. They're going to rise up in Maryland, but it may be too little too late.
So even though Trump is president again, can he not stop it? I know he can't stop everything, but that's where you are supposed to be the parent. And have common sense, and by the grace of God, you know in your heart, just by being a human being, you can't do this to babies.
Lisa, I hear you, and I hear the pain in your voice, and you're right. And the president can do something. He can yank every single penny of federal funding. And this is, you know, I think we've gone beyond the threat stage now. And I know the state of Maine has said they're going to openly defy Trump on this. I would have already defunded the state of Maine. And they can still do it by the close of business today. Not a single penny for you folks. Not a single penny for the Commonwealth of Maryland.
That's exactly right. Because there's no other way they're going to get it. And I'm thinking... It's just like with Kamala Harris and Joe Biden. It was like you were living in a twilight zone. And this is what this feels like. It's like it's not, it can't even be real. But it is real.
Oh, it's real. It's real. Lisa, yeah. Thank you for listening. And we thank you guys in WDUN land, because we've got to be able to talk about these stories. You're not going to hear this story on the national news, but you're going to hear about it on our program. All right. Thank you for that, Lisa. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. So, Dieter, you were telling me that the entire staff has been compiling a list of the things they have done.
And then we'll quickly be asking for pay raises immediately.
Wait, what?
Yeah. So this is great. I'm glad we started this conversation. Glad you actually asked all of your staff, your team, to go into a room and compile a list of duties and responsibilities.
I'm not sure I like where this is going.
We wake up. Me personally, I book for the morning show that I host. Then I gotta host the show. Then we gotta book big guests for the national show, your show. You book Congress people, lawmakers, newsmakers. Then you've got to prep the guest for topics. So, for example, you have Congressman Eric Erlison, our Burleson Party, coming out of the great state of Missouri. He joins the program up next. You've got to give them topics. They have to confirm topics. Then I have to prep you for those topics. Then we pull audio. We go through. We print show materials. We've got to find the compelling stories to print those stories and then jump on air with you. Then after the show wraps up, we send all of the guest interviews from the show. And then aside from that, we have to get you coffee. We have to refill your coffee.
You do not
we
get
go
me
get
coffee.
Your orders from Piccadilly. And God forbid
true.
We get pickles on your Piccadilly. It's over for us. This is just 11 o'clock.
I object.
Do I continue?
I don't like pickles.
That's the point. If we get pickles on your Piccadilly order or anything, it's over for us.
Piccadilly?
I don't know.
What are you talking about?
But
the
that was 11.
Is a delicious southern cafeteria. You're getting that mixed up with Chick-fil-A.
Okay.
So you're telling me that you have job assignments and tasks.
Oh, yeah, that was just for today.
And then we do them on Monday and then Tuesday.
Wednesday,
Thursday and Friday.
Yeah.
And so we call that a job.
It's more than a job.
That's right. It's a passion.
It's a duty. I pull up every day.
It is not duty.
These people.
How dare you, sir? It is not duty. Duty. I'm sorry.
Duty.
My apologies.
No, the people that afford the luxury of getting to do what I just listed from the comfort of their home in pajamas and sweats. How lucky are they? I have to do all of this sitting with you, and that's an honor, of course, but Dylan and Cassidy. Yeah.
You're in the presence of greatness here in the radio studio. You should be honored.
Yeah. So I guess if I was a federal employee that got the email from Elon, that's what I would send back. There you go.
Wow. All right. Thank you for that. Ben Dieter. I'm not quite sure that's where I thought that was going to go. Like, for example, you know, the fact that you were running around downstairs with a leaf blower in the building.
Oh, yeah. Todd has to get TV ready. That's a whole nother thing. We call a makeup artist. He gets here at 10:30. Todd sits down on his chair. He still has to do show prep, and we're briefing him on different things happening around the building. He's getting pampered. He's looking better and better by the minute. I go down. I go to the shed. This is all part to get Todd TV Newsmax ready. Get a leaf blower from the shed. Come in. Give Todd's hair a blowout. It's voluminous. It's poofy. It's going to look great on TV tonight, so you can thank the leaf blower out in the shed.
It's called gospel hair, is what we call
exactly.
It. You turn that sucker on, and then you have Miss Cassie. She has the leaf blower, and she's got the Aquanet.
And she, yeah, she, exactly. A gallon of hairspray just to get it up there.
Good Lord.
It takes a lot to get you ready.
Hairspray. It literally froze the poor makeup artist to the floor. She couldn't move.
And this is only a Monday.
It's not good. All right. Wow. Hang tight, everybody. Hour 3 of the big show coming up. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Welcome, everybody. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. By the way, did you see what happened at the airport in Atlanta? Early this morning, you had a Delta Airlines flight, and Delta says the airplane was filled with haze. That wasn't haze, ladies and gentlemen. That was smoke. That's what that was, smoke. They had to evacuate the airplane there at Hartsfield-Jackson Airport. All the passengers had to go down the slide, which was in the butt of the plane. So I've never seen it there. Normally, the slides are on the side. But in this particular big jetliner, the slide, so you're literally sliding down the orifice of the plane. So we don't know who was No, we don't know who was flying or what was going on. We do know, though, Ben Deere, that the pilot of the plane that landed upside down a couple of days, was it last week?
Yeah.
Oh, there's so many plane crashes now. She was apparently a DEI hire.
Great.
So female, it was one of these female flight crews, and she was also allegedly a beauty queen. She's very attractive, a beauty queen. So you had a beauty queen flying your airplane. And how did that work out for you?
Upside down, but a $30,000 handout. Well, a payout. Those people that were in that airplane that ended up upside down because the plane did a somersault down the... They deserve every dollar that they got. And the airline actually gave each of those passengers that ended up upside down a whopping $30 in cash, no strings attached.
So I have a question for you. When you travel back home, is your layover in Atlanta typically, or is it somewhere else?
Atlanta a lot of times.
May I just say, I will do my best to never, ever, ever fly through Atlanta.
That's mean. Why?
Well, have you seen what's been happening down there? If you think Memphis is bad, and a lot of people thought that the video that was going around over the weekend was from Memphis, the Memphis airport. No. This was the Atlanta airport, where you had a free-for-all, an all-out Donnybrook at the Atlanta airport at the Spirit Airlines gate.
It would be Spirit Airlines. Was that one coming to Memphis? Was that gate directed to Memphis? Because I saw the video, Todd. I watched it in its entirety. It was bad. In something that would totally happen in a Chicago, NYC, or a Memphis.
It was a massive fight. Here's what gets me.
Weaves everywhere, by the way.
There were weaves. I mean, at first I thought, oh, is that like a little woolly? You know those little, what do they call them? We used to call them woolly bugs.
Woolly worms.
Woolly worms, yeah.
Yeah, you can predict the weather.
But they're...
eyelashes.
But or eyelashes or weaves in this case. And it was, I mean, they were flying everywhere. And no police were around. By the time the police showed up, the flight had, or I guess maybe the fight's already broken up.
Yeah.
But I've never seen, I mean, it was like a full-blown riot.
Well, did you see that American Airlines flight that went from New York to New Delhi? And apparently it landed safely. That's the good news, in Rome. But they had to get up a military jet because there was a bomb threat within the plane. And so it got a military escort on its flight because apparently there was some form of a security concern up in the plane. Now, ultimately, that threat was non-credible, but it was all over the news this weekend. It's like, Todd, I don't know if airline and traveling via planes is less safe now than it was maybe a couple years ago, but the perception is that it is. I think statistically, you're still good, but all of these stories compounded, it terrifies you. Like, I'm driving to my next vacation.
So the airport officials are now talking to TMZ. That's always a bad move.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when TMZ calls, things are not good. And they say they're investigating the incident, but they're calling this one woman. You might have seen her. She was in the gray yoga pants, the form-fitting yoga pants, and she literally leaped up onto the seats. And she is pounding people. I've never seen anything like this.
Mm-hmm.
It was they're saying dozens of people were involved in the melee.
You've got to check out the video. It's one of the craziest things I have ever seen. I mean, Todd, we're talking, to give people an idea, 20 people all on each other, just pounding each other, tackling, wrestling. It looked like the MMA, but like this is actually serious fighting.
Nobody can tell us where the flight was. Was it going to was it going to Memphis? We don't know where it was going.
These look like my neighbors.
Wow. Thank you for that, Ben Deere. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. In other words, you mean your neighbors are fighting a lot, so they just get into these random fights in the street. That's what you meant. Okay.
Yeah.
Very good. Thank you. Let's go to Andrew in Memphis, Tennessee, listening to us on our flagship station, KWAM. Wants to weigh in on universal guaranteed income. Hi, Andrew. What's going on?
Hey, Todd. Hey, man. I'm good. Yeah, just real quick. Yeah, I didn't know. I didn't hear about that until you mentioned earlier about, I guess, how Mayor Young is toting that idea around. Look, I'm all for you know, helping people out in need. Certainly, you know, especially in a poor city such as this, Memphis. But you know, I haven't looked into it. I haven't looked in any videos or gone onto any of the city websites to see what exactly really he's talking about per se. But I just hope that it's not just, you know, plain and simple, just cutting checks and handing them out. Here you go. You know, here's some extra money. Here you go. I mean, that's just, I mean, how different is that from just all the other typical stuff that's been going on for decades, you know, welfare and et cetera, et cetera. I think there should be more of a structured system to where you're incentivizing people to produce, you know, better work ethic, better character, integrity, and making sure that, you know, that they're kind of earning, so to speak, maybe some extra guaranteed basic income.
Well, Andrew, what's interesting about the story is that the mayor, and he was delivering these remarks at a Housing for Tomorrow summit, and he wants, the whole point of a guaranteed income program is to make housing more affordable. So my concern would be, all right, if you're saying they're going to give between $500 and $1,000 a month, I mean, Andrew, you know, even for a smaller home or an older home, that's not going to be enough to cover the mortgage, much less the insurance and the other things you would need if you were going to buy a house.
Oh, I agree. Yeah, that's a drop in the bucket these days. I think there's got to be some better ways, maybe long-term fixes in terms of really economically improving the poor areas in a city like Memphis. You know, maybe they need to, instead of funding things like this, you know, let's try to give our youth some opportunities to get out in the communities and clean up a bunch of blight and stuff like that, and basically pay them to do those kind of things. Give them some sort of opportunities. Maybe invest in some facilities around here that could perhaps educate and teach our youth on
the vocational arts, Andrew, that's a great idea. Instead, this mayor is more concerned about building community centers and making sure kids have places to go and literally play video games. I would rather those kids be out there learning what it means to do a hard day's work or, you know, having a part-time job. I know many of us, when we grew up, we had part-time jobs. There were responsibilities, and even as a teenager, you know, you had to take care of. So, yeah, what the mayor is trying to do is just not going to work. It's just going to, again, squander the hardworking money from the taxpayers in Memphis, Tennessee. Andrew, I've got to run. I do appreciate you calling in. Hang tight, folks. We'll be right back.
You're talking about the last email that was sent, where he wanted to know what you did this week. You know why he wanted that, by the way? I thought it was great. Because we have people that don't show up to work and nobody even knows if they work for the government. So by asking the question, tell us what you did this week, what he's doing is saying, are you actually working? And then if you don't answer, like you're sort of semi-fired or you're fired, because a lot of people are not answering because they don't even exist. They're trying to find, that's how badly various parts of our government were run by, and especially by this last group. So what they're doing is they're trying to find out who's working for the government. Are we paying other people that aren't working? And, you know, where is all this? Where's the money gone? We have found hundreds of billions of dollars of fraud so far, and we've just started. We're actually going to Fort Knox to see if the gold is there, because maybe somebody stole the gold, tons of gold. So I think it was actually, there was a lot of genius in sending it. We're trying to find out if people are working. And so we're sending a letter to people. Please tell us what you did last week. If people don't respond, it's very possible that there is no such person or they're not working.
All right, there you have it. President Trump just moments ago, and the president going to be, he'll be holding a press conference with the French president here momentarily. Let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Say hello to Congressman Eric Burleson from Missouri. And, of course, we're celebrating today because, Congressman, our show now broadcasting on the Real Talk Radio Network, KRTK, KVMO, and KRTE. And we're excited to be in the Show Me State.
That's awesome. The Show Me State will love you.
You know, Congressman, you just heard President Trump explaining why they sent out that email asking people for some bullet points on what they did. I'm just curious your thoughts on that. Was that out of line, or do we deserve to know?
Oh, this is long overdue, Todd. This is long overdue. I had 20 plus years experience in the private sector, and this is the minimum of what they expect out of you, right? I mean, the fact that the bar is so low, really. You just to just ask them to show up for work, and I mean that is such a low bar. And then just to ask, tell us five things that you did, and they're not even really going to start. They're not even really, you know, taking a magnifying glass to the five things that people are reporting. They just want you to at least, you know, demonstrate that you're doing anything at all. And the fact that the left and these lifetime bureaucrats are screaming indicates that how bad this whole situation is.
Congressman, are you hearing reports of people actually returning to office? What the deadline was today, that they're supposed to be back in the office working?
I haven't heard how many are coming back. The key indicator to me will be, are the streets busy in D.C.? And I haven't. They don't appear to be too busy or any more busy than they normally are. So it's still yet to be determined whether or not people are returning to work.
When you look at the amount of grift and corruption that we've already found, what happened? So Elon and his team, the Doge team, that they find all of this, they're exposing it. But what actually happens? How do we get that money back, or how do we make sure those programs and policies like transgender surgeries for Guatemalans are not funded by our tax dollars?
Yeah, Todd, you know, the Trump administration at Elon, they're leading the way, and they're showing tremendous courage. But Congress needs to respond. So we have to pass in the appropriations. We need to reflect these savings that have been identified, and that means cutting spending, something that Congress is resident to do. They do not like the cut spending, but you know what? It's time to put on your big boy pants and let's go. Trump is leading the way. These are courageous moves that have been long overdue. We're $36 trillion in debt. We've been wasting taxpayer money for decades, and it's time that we course correct. Because it's honestly, Todd, we're in a really critical state that I didn't really understand as much until just recently, these last few months, in recognizing the impact that being the world reserve currency is. And the fact that China is really clipping at our heels, in fact, they're surpassing us in a lot of ways. Their goal is to take over as the world reserve currency. And we are, you know, at a critical point in our debt, especially debt to GDP. We're at the highest levels we have ever been. And we're at a place where if we don't clean up and start cutting spending, then we're going to end up in a debt spiral.
No, we are, Congressman, and that's why I was just curious because, yeah, I mean, right now, the theater of it all, I mean, everybody's talking about the, you know, all of the horrible expenditures, but my question is, well, wait a second, how do we make sure this doesn't happen again, and how do we get our money back? And you're telling me this is really something that Congress has to step up to the plate and deal with.
Yeah, absolutely, and you know, what's really frustrating is that we're getting early indicators from some of the moderates who are saying, they're going to draw a hard line and say we're not going to cut, you know, for example, we're not going to make any cuts to Medicaid. Well, let's be serious about this. Obama tripled the size of Medicaid into a population of people that are not disabled. They're not, you know, they're above the poverty level, and these are able-bodied young adults. that Obama tripled the population into so that he could try to basically backdoor create a single-payer system. That expansion, along with Joe Biden, who eliminated the work requirements that were put in place in the 90s under Bill Clinton, and yet now my Republican colleagues are going to draw a line in the sand and say, by God, we're not going to touch what Joe Biden did, the expansion, or we're not going to touch what Barack Obama did, his expansion. At the end of the day, we don't have the money to fund people to sit at home and not work who should be working. We need to get, you know, the American people who are able-bodied young people, many of them are millennials, they need to be out in the workforce, and they need to be motivated to go out there and get a full-time job and start paying for their insurance rather than sit at home and let the government pay for it.
No, I think that's a brilliant strategy, Congressman. And again, we're talking to Congressman Eric Burleson from Missouri. Congressman, I've got about 60 seconds here. We are coming up to a point where, you know, we're going to be hitting a debt ceiling. Where do we go from here? Are the Republicans, are you guys going to be cutting anything at all?
I hope so, Todd. Myself and members of the Freedom Caucus, we've made it very clear that we are not interested in raising the debt ceiling or doing, any of these reconciliation that might cause us to exacerbate our deficit. At the very minimum, we should be deficit neutral in these tax cuts and this budget reconciliation, and we should be cutting spending. We need to start course correcting, and I think that Trump and Elon are showing tremendous courage. It's now time for Congress to step to the plate and reciprocate that kind of courage.
Well said. All right, Congressman, always appreciate you coming on the program, and we're going to get you back soon. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, folks, hang tight. We do have to take a quick break and pay some bills. In the meantime, head over to ToddStearns.com and check out our great website. We have some incredible stories for you. And also for all of our new listeners in Missouri, we have some great resources that are free of charge. That would be our daily podcast. You can also sign up for the Todd Stearns Trump Briefing. Just hit the subscribe button at the top of the page. All right. Hang tight, everybody. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stearns Show.
My show had value, and that, I'm sorry, that what I was doing had value. And in the end, I try not to cry on TV. And I say, this is kind of like me on TV, so I apologize.
Why those liberal tears, Joyless?
And then it mattered. I see Karen is there, and she's been texting me as well.
All right, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Joyless Reed weeping. And she was really getting emotional, Ben Diener.
I'm emotional. Todd has a hanky.
It's a little salty. It's all the liberal tears.
Yeah.
There are massive, massive changes happening at MSDNC.
So she lost her job and lost her wig.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. So she lost the cultural appropriation.
So those wigs are a lot of money. And to get a gig at MSNBC, you get millions of dollars.
Did she do that as an homage to Trump? Because it looked like a Trump wig.
No, she was the face of the resistance. That's what New York Times called her. So she lost her contract, and there went the wig.
So the resistance lost its face. Wow. What's she going to do? I mean, I've recommended a job at Mickey D's. Happy to put in a good word. I know the owner-operator in Germantown.
What about a Popeyes?
Or a Chick-fil-A, maybe?
A great Chipotle down the street.
There you go.
Yeah.
There are lots of opportunities.
But they all podcast. That's what they do.
Or she could learn code.
What's that?
That's what the coal miners were told. Learn programming.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. That's what Joe Biden told the programmers or the coal miners. All right. Welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. There is an insane story, and it was just mind-blowing. This is coming from Washington State, where a high school history textbook was apparently inspired by Karl Marx. On our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today, Brian Noble, the president and CEO of the Great Family Policy Institute of Washington. Brian, happy to have you with us today.
Hey, great to be on the show today. Thank you so much.
All right, so this is absolutely insane. Tell us how you guys learned about this crazy history book.
Well, this book actually has been around for a little bit of time, but we see that it's being taught in our public schools, and there is just some things that would make most Americans roll over, and they're just like, what the heck are they teaching our kids? It is a book that's off the charts, embracing Marxism, embracing feminism, embracing just so much of its counterculture to the United States of America.
So let's talk about some of the things that you guys found, and tell us the name of the history book. Howard Zinn, I believe, is the author.
Yeah, it's The People's History of the United States. And so it's as if someone sat down at a bad family reunion and documented every, ill will, misspoke word, every bad portion of the family reunion and decided to publish a book. I mean, quite frankly, and it's filled with a lot of half-truths. When you look at how he characterizes Christopher Columbus and how some of the land trades and purchases went, and then he only tells half the story, it's incredibly, maybe he has a good heart, but it seems like it's incredibly misleading and trying to have an agenda to move our students towards Marxism.
Well, I would say that that was the intent. I don't think his heart is pure here at all.
Right.
This guy was a known democratic socialist, so he is self-proclaimed. It seems to me this guy has an agenda.
Absolutely. So, I mean, if you read through the book, it's interesting because you will see that in the Native American culture that one of the things that he says is that the female members of the tribe actually ruled over the males. He shows that. He talks about how the idea of on the land that it was just he never tells the story of Christopher Columbus or some of the others that purchased the land sometimes three or four or five times over because they wanted to make it right with the Native Americans. He just tells it where the injustice may have been caused by one member or something like that. And so it's very, very biased. And he says, I am telling this story at the very beginning. I am telling this story from the position of the victims. And he instantly puts all Europeans as oppressors and as all Native Americans as the victim.
So this guy quoted himself, Marx's Communist Manifesto was immensely useful and inspiring in influencing his view of history. According to the campus, or the College Fix, rather, they say that the book describes Thomas Jefferson as writing whose writings were underhanded, merely concealed ulterior motives. They write about the American Revolution was a project of economic manipulation. It goes on and on and on here. My concern here, Brian, is this textbook is not just used in Washington state schools, is it?
No, it's been around for a while, but it's become more popular for some odd reason more recently. And it is used across the United States. It's one of those books that parents need to have on their, I need to check on this list. Like, is my kid being taught this? Because the reality is if they're not taught truthful and unbiased history, they're going to walk away thinking that America's evil, white people are evil, all this kind of garbage that he has come up with. And it's an amazing, blatant, mark on our history. It's just a perspective that I don't think most parents realize are being taught to their kids in school right now.
Until the kids graduate and, high school, then they go off to college and they come back and they're a little, Marxist, and this is the reason why. It's a lot of it is what they may have been learning in their high school history class.
Yeah, and I like to say this. We all have our moments, right? Even in history or in our families, we all have little things that we, where someone gets upset or angry or causes an injustice or what have you. What he's done is he's taken, hundreds and hundreds of pages of time just to point out every single little blatant thing. And then on top of that, they're biased toward Marxist view. So he comes in with a bias of there's already two classes, oppressed and oppressor. He comes in with the idea that there's already a
place of injustice, and then he assigns motives. So it basically says that, you know, our founders discovered that if they formed the United States of America, they could just steal all the land. I can read it to you. It's just crazy. A symbol of legal unity caused the United States. They could take over the land, profits, and political power from their favorite British empire. So the whole motive was, that he says, was, you know, not for religious liberty or to discover new place or anything like that would be kind of virtuous. He says it's basically sinister and that we just did it for selfish gain.
Wow, just unreal. All right, so what are you guys there at the Family Policy Institute, what are you guys doing about this?
Well, we do a lot of things on the educational front of, you know, releasing videos and releasing materials to help people be educated on these things. We also have created the Washington Defenders, and what they do is they're people who are watchmen on the wall who are looking out for stuff like this, and we speak out. We make a public appeal so that people will know about it. And we do the spiritual part, too, quite frankly. We have Adopt an Elected where we can pray for our elected officials. We can build relationship with them and try to win some over. But what really going on shows like this is really helpful because it brings attention to these type of environments, these things that we're putting our kids in. We are no longer in a good faith relationship with our educators. We are now have moved into indoctrination of our students because this is definitely indoctrination material. And we should be aware of this as parents. I also like to say to our Christian educators, we need you to be very courageous. It's time that you speak up against these types of resources that are being either required or recommended that you have your students read. The Christian educators can no longer remain silent on these issues. It's time to protect our children.
Well said. And Brian, we're going to have to leave it there, but we certainly appreciate you speaking out as well. Brian Noble, everybody, President, CEO, Family Policy Institute of Washington. And Brian, thank you for bringing the story to our attention today.
Oh, you're welcome. You have a blessed day.
All right. There you go. Wow. This is why your kids are coming out of school, your little taxpayer-funded school, as little communists. I'm just saying, got to pay attention. By the way, have you seen all these woke executives, and they're jumping on the bandwagon of freedom and liberty? I wouldn't believe them at all. They've done nothing to prove that. And I keep going back to when all of the big banks were canceling the conservatives and shutting down, you know, pro-Trump, America First conservatives. That's unacceptable, and that is unforgivable. And this is one of the reasons why I know when we were looking for a bank, we looked at Old Glory Bank, an FDIC-insured bank that was created to protect your privacy, security, and liberty, co-founded by our good friend Dr. Ben Carson, Larry Elder, John Rich. Old Glory Bank now serves tens of thousands of customers in all 50 states, and they are a great sponsor of this program. I want you to check them out, oldglorybank.com/starns. That's oldglorybank.com/starns. Check them out today. Open your account and put your money in the hands of people that you can actually trust. oldglorybank.com/starns.
I got this email Saturday afternoon about 3 p.m., and I felt absolutely infuriated getting this email with a demand within 48 hours to provide a response on what I did within the last week or face termination. This is clearly an attempt from Elon Musk to harass and bully and intimidate the federal workforce, which is part of his broader plan to gut the federal workforce and privatize public sector services to ensure that corporations like his own can get more profit. And that makes me really angry, and my coworkers as well.
All right, that's one of the federal workers. She gets a paycheck thanks to you. And Ben Dieter, she was infuriated that she was given 48 hours. I was only like given 48 like hours to figure out what I do. That's just terrible.
Did you see the image of this girl? She looks exactly what you expected as a federal employee.
Like my bangs.
Yeah.
They're like right from the 80s.
You can tell she's been working from that gamer PC chair for the last 6 months. She hasn't gone back to the office since COVID-19.
I'm just infuriated. I'm not going to let Elon bully me. You know, it's interesting. I gave you guys 5 minutes to come up with a list. 5 minutes.
And I came up with 50 responses.
Okay, only three were legitimate. But still, I'm just saying that she's got 48 hours. I mean, really, what are you going to do? How hard is that?
This is so offensive. And back to what you were talking about, was it Trump's pick over Small Business Administration? Tell me.
Kelly Loeffler.
You have their office space completely empty. She's walking through. It's her first job. She's like, everything that you've been hearing in the rumor mill about federal employees in D.C. not working, it's true. I'm here. And meanwhile, the people that put these people and give them and pay their paychecks, all of these federal workers, are us. When was the last time we had the luxury of sitting at home and getting a paycheck? All those farmers, you think about all of our listeners in Jackson, Tennessee, that are on the track. They are footing the bill. So this chick with bangs who's crying can sit at home and get a salary. It's outrageous. It's so angering, but it's over. And I think that's why you're seeing this reaction.
So, by the way, so just our listeners are some of the most helpful, kind-hearted people I know. And many of them were moved to tears by Joyless Reid and her breakdown. That was tough. It was tough to listen to. Can we listen to that again, please? It's tough to listen to. What I want.
Please.
My show had value. And that... I'm sorry.
It's okay.
That what I was doing,
the poor girl,
had value. And in the end, I'm sorry, I try not to cry on TV.
Right.
And I say, this is kind of like me on TV.
We shall overcome. We shall overcome. Wow. It's, I just feel heartless right now.
You know what she needs to do? She needs to go to the forest and the trees and start banging sticks.
You know she's going to bang a bongo somewhere. May I just say, though, but again, I just, again, are the kindness of our audience. Someone sent me a note.
What are they sending you?
And they said, Todd, we may have a job for Joyless. The Proud Boys are looking for a receptionist, apparently. So she does have a lovely phone voice.
That is the most insane thing. I was expecting, like, maybe the Todd Stern show sent Joyless Reid and edible arrangements. We put Todd's face on the top of the berries in the cantaloupe. But no, this is a better idea.
She's going to be hard pressed. Maybe we should send her some, like, toilet paper, some Mr. Sherman. Wow. So,
no, think about this. Todd, you have Joy Reid losing her job. Lester Holt is out at MSNBC, or NBC, pardon. You have, who's the guy at CNN that was yelling at Trump
Rachel
all the time?
Maddow.
No.
Oh, little Jimmy. Little
he
Jimmy
just
Acosta.
Lost his job.
Mm-hmm.
You have Don Lemon. He's out. Who do they have left? They've all lost their cable jobs.
They've got that dude. Oh, golly. It's Chris Hayes, and what's his twin brother?
Oh, yeah.
Maddow. Yeah.
Mad Cow.
Mad.
They're the last one standing. Oh, Inside Jen Psaki is left.
Yeah, they're promoting her. So they're promoting the white chick. I'm just curious about what's going on inside MSDNC. Apparently the whole company's freaking out. They had an all hands on deck meeting because people are just enraged.
Yeah. Well, you know who they're replacing the panel with. So Joy Reid is out at the 7 p.m. prime slot. They're replacing it with a trio. So you have Michael Steele, you have I always want to say Ramon Sanders something. You know the buff chick. She protects
Simone Sanders. Thank Simone, you. Yeah, Simone, yeah.
And then the daughter of
buff chick.
The daughter of Bob Menendez, who is stealing gold bars. The daughter has a TV job, and that makes up the trio.
Wow.
So they're replacing. Yeah.
This is fascinating. But people are all very upset. As a matter of fact, you've got... They actually had an all-hands-on-deck meeting to explain why they were doing it. I want to read. This is from Mediaite, and they're insisting that Trump was not a factor in the firings. Oh, there she is with the blonde wig. Oliver Darcy says that the meeting was tense and emotional. It was a digital confab. Oh, I wonder if Tupin was on the call. Pardon me, wrong network. These people. Oh, my God. Anyway, people, they're saying that they are hiring. So apparently finances is not a big problem. They're hiring more than 100 people.
It's just such a deranged conclusion, string of thought, Todd.
These are pervy people we're dealing with here at CNN and MSDNC.
Well, did you see ABC? They just fired 9 staffers, and they had to tell the ladies of The View they had to let off the Trump hate. They actually sat down with Joy Behar and Whoopi Goldberg and said, you guys have to pipe down on how much you hate Trump. Something's happening. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, give them somewhat Valium or something. What was it they used to give the housewives back in the 50s? They used to just mellow them out. Go make a cancer, oh Joy. All right, we gotta leave it there, folks. We will be back tomorrow, we think. No, we will. 5 o'clock Eastern on Newsmax. By the way, Kat Kamick, my special guest. We're going to have a lot of fun. And again, welcome to all of our great new friends over in Missouri. All right, folks, get out there. Have a great one. Be good, America.